morning, Rabbi Snyder. As always, we welcome everyone to our shiur. The topic of today's shiur is a lot has to do with Inyana Diyoma. I knew that the location of the shiur was going to have to change, so I thought this would be a good thing to speak about. It's not totally unrelated to Parshas Lech Lecha, because we find in Parshas Lech Lecha, the first Jewish goers, we find that Avraham Avinu had to move. Avraham and Sarah, after they came to Eretz Canaan, had to leave and move, relocate to Mitzrayim. We find the concept of Shinui Makom in the Parsha, and so forth. Also the fact that Sarah eventually had a child in Eretz Yisrael, even though she did not have in Chutz La'aretz. So it was also, in the view of the Chazal, connected to the idea of a change in location, the Shinui Mashana Makom, Mashana Mazel. So I thought this would be a good time to speak about the topic in Halacha, which comes up very, very often, and many of us are not so familiar with, and that is the inyan of Shinui Makom when it comes to brachas. Changing a location, if a person is eating food in one location and then he changes to another location, this happens commonly. In today's world in particular, people are on the move. Everyone, you know, it's not like it used to be that people would sit down at a meal and that would be the one place that they would eat. Today we have the whole concept of, for many years already, the concept of fast food, where a person has food that it could be eaten quickly and can be eaten on the run. We also have today the reality that people eat in, not necessarily only in one room, but people move in the midst of, you know, sometimes you get a phone call in the middle of eating. You're sitting and eating in one room, you don't have a telephone in that room, and assuming you still have a landline, you know, if we can recall what that is, right? So a person gets a phone call and he has to move to a different room to take the call, or he wants to speak in private and leaves his family and goes into a different room to make the call. That would also be an example of where it comes up, where a person changes his location. We just, not that long ago, had the Yontif of Sukkot, where potentially also questions come up with Shinui Makom. For example, if a person is eating in the sukkah and it begins to rain, and now you have to relocate in your house, you have to go now inside the house and eat. So do you have to change, do you have to make a new bracha when you go into the house? Or what would be even a person who's eating in a sukkah and is serving himself, let's say, and is going into the house intermittently to get the next course? Is that considered a change of location? So this shaila is very, very nagoya. It's very, very relevant to us, and I think that it would be worthwhile exploring this a little bit today. So basically, the source of the sugya is found in those who learned Daf Yomi. If you're somewhat familiar with this, but there's not that long ago in the Gemara Mesachim and Daf Kuf Aleph. It's not on the sheet because the Gemara is very complicated, and there is more than one interpretation of the Gemara. There's a very big machlokas in the Rishonim what the pshat in the Gemara is. So I decided to not even attempt to go through from the Gemara. But what we need to know is that the Gemara tells us on Daf Kuf Aleph on the days in Mesachim that Shinui Makom Tzarech Levarech. The basic concept is that if a person changes location, they're obligated to make a new bracha. Okay? That's considered some sort of interruption in your eating. If you're eating in a place and you change your location, so roughly speaking, that in itself constitutes the need for a new bracha. Now why that is, so why should that be? So this is a question that is discussed in the poskim. In the view of some, changing location is considered a hefsek. That means if you moved, that means that basically you ended the meal that you were eating and you went to a new place. It's like you're starting fresh. So it's a total hefsek from what you were doing. And that being the case, if it's a total hefsek from the previous eating, then not only would one be required to recite a new bracha in the new place, but you would also have to recite a bracha achrona for the old eating. In other words, if we're going to take the hard line position, if we're going to take the strictest possible approach, that changing locations makes it that it's a total hefsek, that whatever you did until now is over. When you go to a new place, it's a new eating. So then, that would mean that you have to make both a bracha achrona on what you ate previously, and a bracha rishon on the new eating. Okay, that's the view of some rishon. However, others say that take a little bit of a softer stance, and that is that changing locations is viewed as a hesach hadas, changing locations is not viewed as a totally new eating, but it's considered like a hesach hadas, like a person got involved with something else, and we know that a hesach hadas would require a new bracha. In other words, what we have to understand is, just the basic background in brachas, is that if you're sitting in a place, let's say a person was sitting here right now, sitting here eating, if you're going to sit here for the next 3 hours, and intermittently continue to eat, so you really don't have to make another bracha. Right? You haven't moved, you're in the same place you always were, and really, unless you completely got involved in something else and totally took your mind off eating, really, if you stay where you are, you don't have to say another bracha. But changing locations, however, could be considered de facto as if you took your mind off of it. In other words, I moved. So this is where the question comes up, is the change of location a hefsik, in which case you have to say an old bracha, a bracha achrona on what you ate, and a new bracha rishona? Or do we say that it's only a hesach hadas, that it's only considered as if you were distracted, in which case your original meal is still continuing, and therefore you don't have to say a bracha achrona for what you ate already. However, you would have to say a new bracha rishona because of the fact that you took your mind off the eating. So these are the questions that are going to come up. Now, in addition to this, we have to understand probably the most basic question that we have to analyze is what is considered changing your location. Right? The Gemara says shini makom sarach levarach, but it doesn't say what's considered a shini makom. And if you think about it, there are various things that could be considered. For example, the most dramatic shinui makom would be if a person goes literally from one location to another location. If a person started to eat here and then went home. Okay, so you change, that's what's called in halacha, mibayis labayis, that you went from one house to another house. But there's also a question, what would be mecheder lecheder? What would be if a person went from one room to another room? That's also technically a change of location. I start eating here, and then you go into a different room. So what would be the din in that case? And finally, the question would also come up in what's called mizavis lazavis. If you go from a corner of one room to a corner of another room, for example, if a person attends a wedding or something like that in a large hall, and they have, let's say, a smorgasbord in a very, very large room, and hundreds of people are coming. So sometimes the caterer sets up that he has, you know, he has a station on this side and a station on that side, and not always is it the same. Sometimes he has something here that he doesn't have there, whatever it is, or you're talking and you sort of migrate from one location to the other, and it's a very, very large room. So is that considered a shini makom? I mean, after all, the place that I started to eat was very, very distant from where I am now. Very distant. And perhaps, like, it could be in such a large room that you can't even see where you made the original bracha. Sometimes you have a situation like that. Such a large room, and it's a very expansive setup. You can't see where you were. So what are the halachas that come about when we have these situations? So I just want to say one disclaimer before we get into the nitty gritty, and that is the halachas for Ashkenazim are very clearly stated in the Ramah. And that's pretty much what I'm going to be following. Sfardim, there is a very big dispute amongst Sfardim. There's not one practice amongst Sfardim what's done in a case like this, in cases such as this, because, as we'll see, in some cases, there's a clear dispute between Ashkenazim and the Sfardim, and in some cases you get into a question of Suffolk Brachos Lahakel, which everybody holds by. So really, a person who follows the Sfardic Pesach Halacha, I'll say over what I think is that, but, you know, probably better off to follow up with a Sfardic Rav as far as what the exact practice is, Halacha Amaisa. So basically, I'm giving you a heads up. Okay, so basically, see, Sfardim calls.
Can I leave now?
You have to know what to ask. You have to ask an intelligent shayla, or at least know what the shayla is. So basically, the way it breaks down is as follows. Okay, as far as the last case that we discussed, okay, a person going from zavis to zavis, from one corner of a room to another corner, the general halacha is that such a case is not considered a shina. That's not considered a shini makom. And therefore, if you're in a smorgasbord or that type of setup in a very large room, a large reception, if you're in one, if they set up on one side and then you walk to the other side and there are many people in between and you can't even see where you came from, you don't even remember where you came from, that doesn't matter. That's not considered a Shinui Makom. We hold that's the consensus of the Poskim. That's not considered a Shinui Makom, and as such, you don't have to make a new bracha. However, that's the only case that's pretty much straightforward. Okay, when it comes to from room to room, mecheder lecheder, so technically the halacha is that when a person goes from one room to another, that really is considered a change. That really is considered a change. And therefore, as such, that would require a person to recite a new, at least a new bracha rishona when going to that room. However, here there is one halachic dispensation, and that is that for this, das would help. In other words, if a person sat down to eat and knew that I may have to go to another room, even if you know for sure, but I may have to go to another room, I may get called. I may get called in the middle of this meal, and I could call even on my cell phone, but I'm going to go to a different room to take the call. It's a personal matter. So in such a case, the halacha is mecheder lecheder. If a person had in mind initially that he's going to go to a different room, then he does not have to say another bracha in that location. That's not considered a change, because that's called that when you sat down to eat, you intended that the whole house is your place. The entire house. Not just in the place that I'm sitting. Okay, so there, but that is really officially only if a person had the das to do that. Now there are poskim that say that today, because of the fact that the style that we eat in today is different, not as formal as it used to be, and people are on the move, so therefore it's automatically considered a person's das to do that. That's what some say. Others don't quite agree with that, but certainly if a person establishes that this is his, a person can establish that this is his general mindset, if the first few times he does it, he has in mind that this is when I sit down to eat, I mean my whole house. It doesn't just mean here. Right? So in such a situation, then a person would not have to recite another bracha. Okay? The biggest question comes up when a person goes, may bias will bias. And here is a very, very big machlokas where a person goes from place to place, which happens. It happens a person in any number of situations. You have to leave in the middle, or a person, let's say, is traveling. Okay, you want to eat sandwiches. You're about to go on a road trip, but you want to wash the tefillos yadayim. So it happens. You start off in the house, and then you're going to get in the car and continue eating. Right? Like the family in the car, or a person going himself in the car. And a lot of questions come up in these areas. So basically, what I'd like to do is try to simplify the halacha, because it could be a little complicated. We'll try to simplify the halacha as follows. We have to ask ourselves, the criteria for this question of whether you have to make another bracha or not depend on a few factors. Okay, it depends, first of all, on what type of food you're eating. It depends on what type of food you're eating, at least according by Ashkenazim. There are two types of food that we have in Halacha. Okay, there is one type of food that is called the Dovar Shetzorech Bracha Achrona Bimkoma. There are certain foods that require you to make a Bracha Achrona in the place that you ate it. For example, Berachas HaMazon, benching, has to be said in the place that you ate the meal. Okay, you can't leave and say, "Oh, bench, you know, I have to go. You know, the person's eating his meal, and then he looks at his watch, oh, I gotta go. So, you know, but I didn't bench yet. It's gonna take me a couple minutes to bench. When I get to the other place, I'll bench over there." You're not allowed to do that. A person is supposed, mechuyev al pidin, to say Berachas HaMazon in the place where they ate the meal. And if you left such a place, if you left your home, unless it's the Shasat Chagorol, you really would have to go back to bench. This is a halacha that's not so well known. But if a person, sometimes a person forgets, you know, he forgot to bench and he left, and then he's driving somewhere and says, "Oh my gosh, I didn't bench." So if it's a very, there is a leniency, the Shulchan Aruch says, if it was done unintentionally, and it's a very, very difficult situation for him to go back, Like, for example, if a person remembers when he's on an airplane, right? So he remembered, I didn't bench. You know, I ate in the terminal. I had a sandwich in the terminal, and then they called my flight, and I got on the plane. I forgot to bench. Now he's flying, you know, who knows where. So what's he going to do? He's going to go get off and go back to where he... Right? So in a situation like that, so then you could say that the Birchas Hamazon is in the new place. But other than that, the halacha really is that a person is supposed to bench in the place that they ate. You're not supposed to leave. You're not supposed to leave. And if a person left, you really mechuy about the din to go back. Yes. So that was that we're going to get to. But in general, I'm saying without that, no, it's the simplest case, such a thing requires the bracha achrona in its place. L'chol hadeis, everybody agrees. There's no dispute about this. And this is very important to know. A person in a rush, you have to allocate time to say the Birchas Hamazon. It's not good enough to say, well, I'll go there, and then I'll say the Birchas Hamazon. You can't do that. Okay, yeah, if you ate in one place, you're supposed to say the Birchas Hamazon in that place. That, about that, there is no question. Now, there are other... Yeah, I'm sorry.
What I never understood is, how does the Makam fit into this whole thing of saying the Bracha? The bracha is to after you, so you should be able to eat.
Right. Right.
So how is the makor? Where is the makor?
Right. So the makor, as I said, is the answer. The makor, the Gemara in Pesachim tells us that shini makom requires a new bracha. There is a dispute why that is. Some say because changing your place is automatically considered a hefsek. In other words, if you relocated, that means that you ended your meal. In other words, because the stuff, certainly in the old times, okay, today you could argue that, everything is haywire, but until not that long ago, when a person ate, he ate in one place, right? So if you moved to another place, that means essentially that you were mafsik. What I ate before, that was something else, right? And now I'm in a new place. So that calls for a new breath. It could be considered a hefsek. Or at the very least, it could be considered hesach hadas. Hesach hadas means that it's not a total breach, it's not a total break, but nevertheless, I went to a new place. It's like I took my mind off the eating because I had to relocate somewhere else. So that would be a hesach hadas and call for a new bracha. Okay, so when it comes to Birchas Hamazon, that must be said in its place. Now, what about things which require an ala michya? Like, for example, if a person is eating cake, so, or anything made from the five grains, anything made from the chameshes minei dagon, it doesn't have to be cake, but it requires the bracha al hamichya at the conclusion. So there too, there is a requirement that you're supposed to say the bracha b'mkoma, but here it's a little bit more of a dispute. There is a machlokas in the poskim, whether it extends to that. We hold that you really should say the bracha achrona there too. But in that situation, if a person left, so you could rely already, you could be lenient and rely, since there are those who hold that it's not ta'an bracha b'mkoma, so you could say the bracha achrona in the new place. But l'chatchila, certainly, and if a person could easily go back, then the person really should say ala michya in the place that he ate the cake. Okay, and similarly, we have the shaila, if a person has ate one of the shivas haminim. Okay, if a person ate one of the seven species of Eretz Yisrael, so obviously the first two are grains, but the other five, which are fruit, okay, so any one of those things, whether it was an olive or a grape or a pomegranate or a date or a fig, any one of those things, so we require also the Chazal made a special bracha achrona for those fruits, and because they are fruits identified with Eretz Yisrael. And again, that bracha also really a person should say in the place that he ate it. But here there's even more leniency. And here if a person forgot and went somewhere else, so there already we would say that it's much easier to say the bracha in a new place. Now all other foods, such as anything that you say a bari nefashos on, a person's eating meat or chicken or fish or anything like that, so there, the halacha is altogether, you don't have to say the bracha achrona in the place. There is no requirement, because that type of eating is not considered the same degree of kfiyus. That's not considered that you're established in the place that you are. And therefore, that type of thing, you could really say somewhere else. You could say a bracha achrona could be in the place. However, the Chazal tell us very clearly, and it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, and I believe you have it here on the sheet, in Siman Kuf Ayin Ches, in the Ramah and Sif Aleph. So it says that if you look, this would be, I guess, the second page. It says on the last line of the Rambam, Mikol Makom Lechatchila Lo Yeyaker Mimkomo Bero Bracha. A person should really never leave the place that he is without saying a bracha achrona. Even if you think you're going to come back, unless you're going to come back right away. But sometimes it happens that a person, let's say in the middle of eating, he wants to go out to get the mail. Okay, so you're going to, it's just the second. I'm going to go outside, I'll be right back. There's no question, I'm not involved in anything. So there, perhaps, there you could say that we're not worried that he's going to forget. But if a person went any other situation, even though we say that a person can say a bracha achrona, a person can say a bar nefashos in the new location, but it's really not lechatchila to do that. Okay, so therefore, if you're eating anything, if you're eating in a store, or you're eating in your car, or you're eating in your house, and you have to go out, and you're not immediately coming back, you say, well, it's no big deal, I'll say the bracha achrona in the new place. The answer is you're not supposed to do that. Even though burying the freshers can be said in a different location, it does not have to be said in the place that you are, but lechatchila, you're not supposed to do that because of the concern that you'll forget. Which we all understand, right? And that happens a lot of times. You forget, you're so busy, you don't remember, did I say a bracha achrona? Didn't I say a bracha achrona? So in such a situation, it's clear that you're really never supposed to leave the place without saying a bracha achrona. But if you did, so just to review, if you did, so then it depends. If it was bread, you're really supposed to come back. Unless it was unintentional and it's extremely difficult to come back. But any other case, if you pull out of your driveway and start driving, you're really on the bench, you're really supposed to go back. You're really supposed to go back. And certainly a person cannot intentionally do that. You can't say, I gotta run, that's it, I'll bench in the new place. You can't do that. Okay, that is as far as pots, as far as eating bread. When it comes to the other things, when it comes to the chameshes minei dogon, or the five grains, or when it comes to the shivas haminim, which are two grains, wheat and barley, plus the five fruits, so there, also, you're not supposed to leave with chatchila, you're not supposed to leave the place without saying a bracha achrona, right? But if you did, so then, already, there's room to be lenient, preferably you should go back, but there's room to be lenient. When it comes to barring the fushas, that a person could say, really, in any location, does not have to be b'mkomo, but even here, the chachamim say that you shouldn't leave without saying a bracha achrona. Yeah.
When you say b'mkomo.
Yeah.
Okay, this is my makom.
Yeah.
I went down for a coffee, I came back, somebody sat on it.
Yeah, as long as you're in the same room. That's all right. That's all right, yeah. The best thing is to be in exactly the place, but that's all right. That's b'mkomo. As long as you're in the same room. As long as you're in the same room. Now, why is this significant? The reason why are we discussing this, where you could say a bracha achrona? So the answer is, and here's where there's a big difference of opinion between the Ashkenazim and the Sfaradim. Okay, and again, the Sfaradim Pesach, it's unclear. It's unclear because it seems, I looked in Sfaradim, it seems that there are some who do one way, some do the other way. So, this you would have to ask the Chacham, to beyond the scope of this shir, to say definitively. However, here's where the issue lies. There is a machlokas between the Rambam and the Baal Tosfos, a big machlokas. And that is that in the Rambam's view, the halacha of Shinui Makom applies to any food. Meaning that whatever food you eat, if you change your location, you have to make another bracha. You have to make another bracha. And not only that, but the Rambam goes further and says that not only do you have to make a new bracha Rishona, but you also have to make a bracha Achrona on what you ate previously. So therefore, if a person started to eat in his house and then goes to another house, so the halacha would be that he would have to say a bracha achrona. Let's say, in other words, I'm not talking now necessarily that he went to the new house and continued eating. Let's say a person left his house. He got a phone call in the middle of his meal. You gotta come right now to my house to pick something up. Okay, so he runs over to that fellow's house and then he returns to his house. He came back to his house. So what do you do in that situation? In the Rambam's view, the first thing you have to do is say a bracha achrona for what you ate until now, because what you ate until now is history. It's considered done, over with. This is a hefsek, and therefore you have to say a bracha achrona for that. And on top of that, the Rambam says, you would have to say a new bracha rishona for what you're eating now. This is the strictest view, which is followed by many Sfaradim. Okay, that a Shinei Makom is considered a hefsek completely. However, Ashkenazim hold the lenient opinion of the Bali Tosus, which is as follows, and this is where it gets a little complicated. They said that it would only be considered a hefsek if you meet two criteria. Okay, the two criteria are, number one, it has to be that what you ate, what you were eating until now, did not require a bracha achrona in its place. Meaning, if you were eating fruit, or a person's eating a salad, and then he gets a call from his friend and he says, you know that book you wanted to borrow? Well, I'm leaving my house. If you want it, you gotta come right now. So you go out, you get in the car, you drive over to his house, and you come back to your house, you would have to say another bracha. You would have to say another bracha. Now here's where the Ashkenazim come in. They are lenient in the following ways. Number one, you would not have to say a bracha achrona on what you did previously. In other words, they don't view it like the Rambam, that it's a hefsek, that it's history. No, it's not history. However, it's considered as if you took your mind off eating. And if you took your mind off eating, then you're required to say a new bracha rishona. So in that situation, you would have to come back. You don't have to bet. You don't have to say a bracha achrona what you ate, but you have to say a new bracha on what you're eating now. Okay? That would be if what you had been eating until now did not require a bracha achrona in the place that you ate it. However, if it did, if what you ate until now required you to say a bracha achrona in your place, so the Ramah here in the Shulchan Aruch, this would be on the first sheet, okay, the Ramah says, I'm not reading what the Mechaber said because it just gets confusing, that's essentially what the Sfaradim hold, but the Ramah says, V'yesh Cholkin, the Rashi print here, four lines from the top, he says, V'yesh Cholkin, B'chol Masha Kosov, B'siv Zer, Rapsovim, Shashini Mokrom, Einu Ela, Kehesach Hadas, that changing your location is not a hefsek. It's just as if you took your mind, it's as if you were distracted. It's as if you took your mind off of eating. And therefore, when you come back, you would have to say a new bracha. Okay, however, he says, therefore, you would not have to say a bracha achrona for what you did until now. But you would have to say a bracha rishona. Okay, but now, he goes down and says, but there are two criteria. The two criteria are as follows. We skip down a line. He says, V'dafta shalohi niach mixas chaverim besuda, which I'll get to in a minute, v'ocho mitvorim she'enim tzrichim brocha b'mkomam. Okay, this rule only applies if what you ate until now doesn't require bracha achrona. However, a bracha achrona in its place. However, if a person was eating bread, if a person was in the middle of eating a sandwich, okay, and he gets a call, and he has to go to his friend's house to pick something up, he leaves his house, and he comes back, so then the Ramah says, not only don't you have to say a Birchas HaMazon for what you ate until now, but you don't even have to say a new bracha now either. Why not? The reason is because in the Ramah's view, since you had to come back, you were tied down to this place, because you had to say a bracha achrona in this place, so therefore it's considered that you're connected to this location. In other words, this is your place. So you, in other words, this location sort of had a magnet. This location you had to return here. You had no choice. Because had you gone somewhere else and said, oh my gosh, I didn't bench, you would have had to come back anyway. So therefore the Ramah says that not only is it not considered a hefsek, but it's not considered a hesach hadas either. And therefore in that situation, a person can resume his meal without even a new bracha rishona. Without even a new bracha rishona. So if this were to happen, okay, that a person went out in the middle of a meal that he washed, that he had bread, he would not have to recite it. But Ashkenazim would say he does not have to say a new bracha. Okay, the Sfaradim in this case, presumably would say that you do have to say a new bracha, but that has to be determined the final psak.
Is there a time factor in that?
I'm sorry?
Is there a time factor involved in that?
So only the not really. I shouldn't say that. In other words, if a person got totally distracted and got a nurse, if let's say a doctor got called in the middle of a meal and had to leave and rush to the hospital to take care of the patient, there's a total new ASIC. You know, it's not just he went out and he's coming right back. He got completely involved in something and now he's coming back later on. So then that probably would be considered a hesach hadas that you find on the second page. He says that the Ramah says that imisiach daito kishechozer vadetzarach uvarach. In other words, if a person got really involved in something else, then even Ashkenazim would say the afseinu bracha. But we're talking now about the more common occurrence, which is where a person just goes out for a while. He had to run out of the house, he had something came up. Yeah, he remembers, I didn't do carpool. You know, I got to go pick up my kid from the friend's house, or whatever it is. And he's coming back in a situation like that. It's ton bracha b'mkomo. You don't have to say a new bracha. Now, because of the fact that we said earlier that cake and the five fruits of Eretz Yisrael, right, also there are poskim who say you have to say the bracha achron in its place, so we would be lenient in those cases and also say that you don't have to say a bracha when you return. However, if the person was eating something that did not require a bracha achron in its place, so then we don't have this idea that he's connected. Because what's connecting you? When you picked up to leave, you didn't have to come back. In other words, when a person is eating a sandwich, when a person is eating bread, so then if he gets up to leave in the middle, he knows very well, I have to come back, because I have to say Berachas HaMazon. So therefore, that makes it that since he's sort of halachically pulled back to this location, so he's attached. So if he's attached, then there's no problem. Then even if he went away, he comes back, he doesn't have to say a new bracha. But if he wasn't attached, if a person was eating a salad, like today very commonly, people eat salads, you make a whole meal out of a salad, right? So then, in a situation such as that, or a person's eating fish or chicken or a steak, whatever it is, right, he doesn't have to say the bracha achrona there. So therefore, once he leaves, officially, technically, he's gone. What's bringing me back? So since there's nothing bringing me back, it would come out in that situation, even if he came back, you would have to say another bracha. Yeah.
You know very well that you're going to go to three houses.
Yes.
It's in your head.
Yes.
So that's not
that. That's still, since you didn't have to know, the halacha is governed by whether you had to come back. And there's a lot of times people change their plans. You know, I thought I was going to do this, I ended up doing something else.
Make the Havdalah, and you know the neighbor is waiting for you.
Yeah.
Go do the Havdalah for her.
Right, I understand. But even so, that the halacha takes into consideration only when you're obligated to come back. That's what we care about. Are you obligated or not? Now, give me one second. Now, there's one other catch which I glossed over when I read the Ramah. So according to this, it would come out that if a person is eating a piece of chicken and then has to go out and he comes back, he has to say another bracha. Now, if that alone is going to be the case, there's going to be a lot of issues, right? Now, so this would come up a lot of times. So there's one other saving factor, and that is if it's hiniach chaverim b'mekomam. If a person was eating together with other people, and some of the other people are still sitting there. In other words, if I sat down to eat a steak with four friends, okay, so we're all eating together. So now you'll say, and now I got a phone. My child called me up and said, you know, I'm by my friend's house. I have to come home already. They want me to leave. So I run out to pick up this child. So you'll say, well, steak doesn't require bracha achrona in the place that you're eating it. You can say the bracha achrona in the car, you can say the bracha achrona in the other house, so therefore it should be considered a hefsek. However, because what's pulling me back? Right? In other words, we said that the only time it's not an issue is where there's something that's pulling you back. But I don't have to say the bracha achrona here, so there's nothing pulling me back. So the other factor is, if you were eating with friends, that's also called it's pulling you back. Because, you know, what are you going to do with your friends? You're in the middle of eating with them. So it's not nice. It's not courteous. You're in the middle of eating with them. You should continue eating with them. So therefore, because of the fact that I was koveya to eat with them together, so then if it's hiniach chaverim b'mkomam, then that also is considered halachically that I'm gonna come back, and then also you don't have to say another bracha. And then also you don't have to say another bracha. In other words, you need two criteria to have to say a new bracha if you change your location. Number one would be that the food that you were eating until now did not require you to come back to say a bracha achrona. That's number one. And number two is that you did not leave any people that you were eating with in that place. But if you left people in that place, so then the halacha is that you don't. It's not considered a hefsek because you were going to come back anyway. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Just to clarify, if you have a situation where you're eating by yourself, yes, salad, and you then run out to run an errand and you come back and you say that in that situation, we're not eating with friends, you do have to make another bracha.
Right.
That means you first make your bracha achron, you say bracha kashrus, and then you make.
No. So, thank you. So let me just clarify. So Ashkenazim hold that even in a situation where you have to say a new bracha, but that's only a new bracha going forward. You don't have to say a bracha achrona for you ate already. In other words, it's in that respect, it's considered as if you're continuing. So if you had to run an errand, the store is closing, you have to get to the store before they close, so you run out in the middle, and then you come back, right? So that would be considered, in these situations, you would have to say a new bracha rishona, but you don't have to say a bracha one way you ate already. That's what Ashkenazim hold. Okay, so Ashkenazim have a much more lenient opinion. The Sfaradim will follow the Pesach of the Rambam and the Rif. They hold the much stricter view that not only would you have to say a new bracha rishona, but you'd even have to say a bracha achrona what you ate until now, because that's considered like a total breach. Okay, so this is essentially the way it shakes down. Yeah. Okay, now what happens? Okay, so you get that right now. Now what happens? So let's just to put this into perspective. Okay, so if a person is eating in his house and you have your mailbox in, not, you know, right out the door, not attached to the front wall of your house, but let's say you have the mailbox on the sidewalk, okay? And you see through the window, oh, the mail truck came, I'm gonna go see the mail. So you walk out of your house to get the mail and you come back. So you say, what's the big deal? Well, it depends. It depends on the situation. If you were eating a fruit by yourself and you walked out to get the mail, when you come back, you have to say another bracha. You say, well, that's crazy, I just went out for a second. Okay, but the halacha is that leaving a place is considered at least a heshadas. And therefore, you would have to say another bracha. Now, if you were eating it together with other people, you wouldn't have to. If you were eating a piece of cake, you wouldn't have to. If you were eating a sandwich, you wouldn't have to. But if it was just simply a fruit, or it was a drink, a person is sitting down having a cup of coffee, and the mail comes, and you run outside to get the mail, okay, it sounds like you say, what kind of crazy thing is that? This is the all postum agree, even the Sfaradim surely agree to this. Everybody agrees that in that situation, you would have to say another bracha. In that situation, you would have to say another bracha. This sounds like a great chumrah, but this is the consensus of all the postum. Okay.
What if you're drinking on the go?
I'm going to get to on the go in a few minutes. So now, alright, so now let's say as follows. So therefore, just to summarize what we have so far. Okay, if you're eating in a large room, so then there's no problem. A large room, even if it's a huge, huge, huge room, right, a person rented out some sports arena to make a bar mitzvah, you hear stories like that, right, and they had the reception, and you know, you started out eating the chopped liver in section 402, and you ended up, for that matter, if a person is attending an event in such a hall, right, if a person is going to a basketball game, right, so you're in an indoor arena, or even really in a baseball stadium, so long as it's surrounded by fences, which the indoor part is. So then, even if you move, in other words, a person, you know, they have nowadays, kosher stands in all these places, many stadiums with Jewish communities, the person got a hot dog, right, or even not a hot dog, a person got a soda, and is sitting in this place, and then he says, you know, I see that, let me go see what it's, you know, how it is to watch the game from over there, or I see my friend sitting down there, and you go and move to him, that's not considered any sort of change because of the fact that you're in the large room, and a large room is going to be zavis, there is no problem. Okay? But when you're going, that's the most lenient. When a person, however, is going mecheder lecheder in the same house, so mecheder lecheder, we said that this is considered officially a shinui makom. It is considered a change, and therefore, that being the case, a person really would officially have to say another bracha. However, here there is a leniency amongst the contemporary poskim. The modern day poskim say that since today people are not as settled in their eating as it used to be, and therefore, as it happens all the time, that you get a phone call, you get this or that, or you go to another room or whatever it is. So then, generally speaking, it's considered as if when you started, you had in mind that you're going to go to another room. And even if you don't want to follow those poskim, but if a person actually had that das, that he's going, when he starts to eat, he's going to move from one room to the next, then that's okay, you don't have to say another bracha. The biggest issue comes up, and it makes no difference what you're eating. The biggest issue comes up when you're eating, when you're changing from one location to the next. Okay, now, what would be, is there any scenario where we say that if you went to another person, now until now we've been discussing where you start in your house and you return to your house, but in the interim you went somewhere else. Now what would be if you started in your house and you ended in someone else's house? And let's say you knew that that was going to happen. For example, happens often Friday night meal, a person is invited for dessert to his friend, go there for dessert, they're having some sort of occasion, the simcha, whatever, it's done, they go there for dessert, or perhaps the Shevet Brachas, right, where people ask you to come by, they want a minion, they want to be able to say the Shevet Brachas, or whatever it may be, come for dessert. So now, the question is, you're going to be starting in your place, and ending in another house. So here, the halacha is as follows. Here, for various reasons, the Shulchan Aruch says that in that type of situation, if you had in mind originally, you can go to that place. And it's not considered a hafsik. In other words, if you knew when you were starting that you're going to relocate your meal, because until now we were talking that you started your meal in your house, you ended your meal in your house, just that in the interim, you had to go somewhere else. But now we're talking about what happens if you started your meal in one house and you knew that I'm going to go there for dessert. So there, the halacha, for various reasons, is that would be okay, and you would not have to say another bracha in that house, provided that you were eating either bread in that house, or cake in that house. And roughly the reasoning for that is because the halacha would be that in that situation, you could, in other words, if you're invited to a Shevet Brachas, okay, so you say, I'm gonna go for dessert, so I'm gonna go finish the meal in someone else's house. So technically, you could do that and even bench in that house, provided that you had bread in that house. In other words, if you had enough bread in that house that would require you to bench, which we hold as a kazayas, if you had a kazayas of bread in that house, then you would be able to bench in that house, and as such, you'd be able to even eat, even chachira. It's a little confusing why that should be, but nevertheless, that's what we hold, that you'd be able to go to that place, but you have to bear in mind that you have to be able to bench in that house. So what happens a lot of times is that a person is invited for dessert to someone else's house, and they go to the other house, and all they eat is the dessert. In other words, they come in and they have a whole setup with cakes and all kinds of things like that. So you have a nice piece of cake, and then, time to bench. Well, how could you bench there? You didn't eat bread there. So how could you say the Birchas Hamazon? So then you would have to go back to your original house. If you go to the where you started. So the only way this heter would apply would be if you create a situation where you could bench in the second house. Meaning that if you're going to go to that simcha, or you're going to go to your friend's house for dessert, and you're going to have bread there also, at least a kazayas of bread, then you would not have to say brachas, because then it would be considered as if your meal continued in that place. In other words, when you sat down to start your meal, you didn't establish yourself exclusively in your house, you had in mind that I'm going to eat part over here, part over there. But that has to be that you ate over there something that would require you to bench. So because this often does not happen, because we get, you know, you go and you get caught up in it, and you know, you start saying hello to everyone, wishing mazel tov, who knows what, the person gets distracted. So really, it's not the greatest idea to do such a thing. It's not really, the best idea would be that just finish off where you are, and bench where you are, and then go there for dessert. And, you know, anyway, in a lot of cases with dessert, it's not so simple. You don't have to say a bracha to begin with, even in your own house, as we once discussed. So the best idea would be to say the Berachas HaMazon in your house and then move. But if you don't want to do that, that's okay. But as long as you had in mind when you washed that you were going to do this, and you ended up having bread in that house, then you could say the Berachas HaMazon. But if you went there simply for dessert, and you didn't have bread, you have to go back to your house to bench. So, you know, a lot of times that creates the most comfortable situation. So it's better to just initially just bench before you leave and then go to this new place. Now, so let's just discuss a couple of scenarios in the common day where questions would come up. So we said before about a house to a sukkah. Okay, this is very kind. Happened to sukkahs. It happened to me personally. Started eating in the sukkah. I'm sure other people had this experience. We were very rainy sukkahs, right? So started to eat in the sukkah and started to rain. So you go back into the house. Now what is that considered? If you went from your sukkah to your house, what's that considered? So here, believe it or not, it depends on how your sukkah is constructed. Some people have their sukkahs right outside their house, meaning that you walk out the door, you walk right into the sukkah. Okay? Now, if you have that, then the sukkah is considered a room in your house for the days of sukkahs. It's an extension of your house. You extended your house for those days. So, as such, you could go from your house to the sukkah and sukkah to the house without a question. Okay? However, if your sukkah is not in that situation, but it's in your backyard, so now already it's not such a simple thing. Because of the fact that you say, well, I'm changing my location. So, the best thing really would be that a person on sukkahs, it's always a good idea to do this, before you start your meal, to have in mind, you know, because especially here, it could rain unexpectedly at any moment, you just never know. So therefore, you really have to have in mind that I am, you know, if I have to go into the house, I'm going into the house. By the way, you can have the reverse. Sometimes, the first two nights of sukkahs, you have a reverse situation. You start in your house, you may have to go out to the sukkah. Because there's a special chiyuv to eat at least the kezayis in the sukkah the first two nights of Yom Tov. Right? So the best thing is a person should have in mind that I'm going to that place. I may go there. If you didn't have it in mind, so then, okay, we could presumably say that it's considered das automatically because everyone understands that this could happen, and therefore, you know, it's understood that this was an issue, okay? A further leniency would be if your backyard was gated in, if the sukkah was in the back and your property is gated in, so then it's also smart to say that would be okay. But generally speaking, it's not so simple like we think. As if you're walking right into the sukkah is like your house, that's like you went from one room to the next. But if the sukkah is in the back, then it's not so simple. Now, I'll tell you where it could be a bigger issue. Because let's say you have a person who is eating alone in a sukkah, and let's say he comes in to eat a salad, and he's not married, officially a salad. You don't have to eat in a sukkah, but many people are careful that they don't eat it. If they're home, they try not to eat anything outside of the sukkah. Okay, so he goes to the sukkah, and he takes his salad, and in the middle he starts to eat the salad, and then he says to himself, "Oh, I'm thirsty, I forgot to bring a drink into the sukkah." Okay, now if he's eating alone, and he goes into the house to get a drink, so now what are we going to say when he comes back to the sukkah? What are we going to say? You don't have to say another bracha? Why not? Why don't you have to say another bracha? You weren't eating something that forced you to come back. You didn't leave anybody behind. So, I don't know. Now this is this would be a big chumrah to say, but I don't know a way to get around it. In other words, okay, you could ask a rav, I don't know, but to me, it seems that in that situation, if you're eating with your family, there's no problem no matter what you're eating, because you left people behind. So if you left people behind, you're gonna come back. That forces you to come back. But if you were eating alone, and you're eating something that there's no halachic reason that you have to go back, even the sukkah, you say, well, what do you mean, I have to go back to the sukkah? But that's not a chiyuv either. That's a chumrah, that a person is going to make sure that they only eat in the sukkah. So in that type of situation, there's a real question that would come up. So really, in that type of case, the person should try in advance to make sure he has what he needs in the sukkah before he starts. Yeah, I'm sorry.
It would seem to me that wherever you're by yourself and you're leaving your food there, that in and of itself is the reason why you're coming back, because you have
right.
to have food there in a plate.
Right. So that's a practical, but I think that I love that that's true. And logically, you say, well, I left my plate there, I left my food there, that's what I'm eating. But it's from the sugi and the Gemara, it seems that it's only something that, like, halakhically or for strong social pressure would cause you to come back. But if it, you know, officially, listen, you could say, hey, listen, you know, so I'm done. I changed my mind. I'm done. Because you say it's true. It's very likely that I'm going to go back. But there's nothing that's really forcing you to go back. In other words, if the halakha forces you to go back, that's one thing. If social pressure forces you to go back, that's something. But if it's just done, that's my place. Apparently, from the postgame, that's not considered enough. So that would be a situation that a person has to be careful. Okay, now, finally, the question of what about eating on the move? What about eating on the move? Okay, which is a very common thing. People are running all the time. You just grab something, you run into a pizza shop, get a slice of pizza, you go into your car, and this and that, you can eat it while you're driving. You see, nowadays, people drive a car holding food in one hand and a cell phone in the other hand, and they're steering with their elbows, right? Which is maybe a different question, halacha, but nevertheless, that's you know, people are constantly on the move. So what do we say about such a case? What do we say about such a case? Now, I'll give you a very simple case where this could come up. A person drinking a cup of coffee. Okay, and he's drinking a cup of coffee in his car. He pulls up to the drive-in, coffee shop, gets a cup of coffee, and now he's drinking the coffee and has to get gas. So he wants to put gas in the car. It's self-service. You're going to have to get out of the car to put gas in the car. So you're driving alone, and you just got out of your car. So now do we say that when you go back into the car, you have to say another bracha? Or let's even say he wants to continue drinking the coffee while he's pumping the gas. Do you have to say another bracha? Are we going to go so far? So here, the poskim are lenient, because they say that there's a din called holchei drachim. We find this in Shulchan Aruch here. It's on the sheet, I believe it's on the last page, that the Shulchan Aruch says, in Sif, bear with me for a second, the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Dalit, it says that there is a concept in halacha called holchei drachim, a traveler. A traveler, a person who's on the move, has the greatest leniency because of the fact that since he's on the move, it's considered that he never established himself. In other words, the whole issue in all these cases is since you established yourself in this place, so when you go to a new place, it may require, even if you came back to the original place, it may require a new bracha. But if you're on the move, so then you never intended to establish yourself in that place. So therefore, the postman says as follows. From a person eating in the street is considered on the move. It's considered on the move. And therefore, if you're planning on, let's say theoretically, a person is jogging and he's going to carry a water bottle with him, as many do, right? And along the way, he may want to take a drink. You say, well, I'm constantly changing my location. I'm constantly in a new place. So when you start the jog, you have in mind that, you know, this bracha should be for wherever I end up. That's fine. Right? If you had in mind, if you didn't have in mind, it's a little worse, but it's better just have in mind that I'm going for a jog, this bracha should apply for the entire jog. Like I said, wherever I end up, I could go across a bridge, you're here in the neighborhood, you know, you go by the canal, you cross over the canal, you go to the other side, whatever it is, you say, well, I changed my place in so many different ways, that's fine. As because you're on the move, if you're on the move, you never established yourself. So too, from a car to the street, is considered that you're on the move. And therefore, in the case that I just gave, if a person is drinking a coffee and he gets out to pump gas, he doesn't have to say a new bracha when he goes back in the car, even if he's alone. Even if he's alone, he doesn't have to say a new bracha because that's considered you're on the move. And if he wanted to sip the coffee while he's pumping the gas, he could do that also. Because of the fact that you never established yourself in a certain place. That if a person went into an ice cream shop and got an ice cream cone and started to eat it, and then it got a little crowded there, you said, "Well, I'll finish it already. I got to leave already. I'll go into my car and finish it." So even though you started off in the store, but there also there's room to say that it's not the type of thing that, unless you're in a fancy establishment where people, the dafka, sit down to eat. But if, you know, like the Carvel here in the neighborhood, they don't really even have much of a seating area, so people commonly get stuff and go out with it. So there you could say also, I'm on the move. I'm on this type of thing. A person eats on the move, I'm on the move. Even though that would not help if you were eating it in your house, because in your house, that's a place that you naturally establish yourself. But if you're in a place where it's not really convenient to establish yourself, so if you started there and you keep going, that's okay. If a person is chewing gum, okay, so you have a situation, you could start in one place and end up who knows where, right? That's all right. As long as when you had in mind, you said that as well, sucking a candy, a person, sucking candy could take 5 minutes till you finish it off, and you could, who knows, you put it in your mouth in your house, and then you went to the street, and then to the car, and then to here, and then to the store, right? It's all good. It's all good because of the fact that in that situation, your intention was, this is the type of thing you eat on the run, and I'm not establishing myself. And not only that, but even if on the way you wanted to put another candy in your mouth, now if the person started with one in his house, and then he got in his car, and he's driving somewhere else, and he goes into a store, and he wants to eat a second candy, he doesn't have to say a bracha on that either, because a new bracha. Why not? Because of the fact that it's still considered the original eating, because this type of food is eaten on the move. And if it's eaten on the move, then so long as I have not decided that I am finished eating, then it's all considered on the smach, on the basis of the original bracha. Okay, so therefore that would be a very great practical leniency that we would have, and that would apply. You know, even if you started in your house, so long as you were not intending on eating it exclusively in your house. Okay, a person eating candy, or a person chewing gum, or a person sipping a coffee, has to go out to work. So he grabs a cup of coffee in his house, says a bracha, sips a couple of sips, and then goes into the car. Since his intention was that I'm not drinking it here, I'm drinking on the move, no problem. You can go in the car, drink it, no bracha, you go into your office, continue drinking it, no bracha, it's all good. Because that's considered on the smach of the original eating. However, if you're eating something that is not necessarily on the run, right, so then that's where the shilas come up. Now, getting back to what we said at the outset, what about if a person wants to eat a sandwich, a family is going on a trip, and they want to eat sandwiches in the car, but they have to wash and tilas yadayim, so they're going to start off in the house, wash and tilas yadayim, and start, and then go. So the halacha would be that for that type of thing, since that type of food generally is not eaten on the run, in other words, gum and coffee and candy is eaten on the run, but sandwiches are not typically eaten on the run. So there, halacha is just a little more strict, that a person would have to eat a kezias of the sandwich in his house, meaning he has to eat a kezias of bread in his house. If he eats a kezias of bread in his house, then he continue eating in the car, no problem, no new bracha. And if he finishes the sandwich in the car and had the rest and had a kezias left in his sandwich, then he could bench in his car. That's okay. But if you just wash, take a little something, and then go into the car, that's no good. And the reason for that is because, but when it comes to bread, the whole idea is that since you had to come back, since you were koveya in this place, so therefore it's considered that you haven't interrupted your meal. So without getting into, it's a little complicated to explain why that should be in this situation, but nevertheless, you have to have had a kezias enough that you would have had to bench in your house. So therefore, a person eating a sandwich who wants to travel somewhere else, start off and eat in the house a kezias, then you can go in the car and eat as much as you want, whatever you want, and if you're driving a very long trip, you could be driving hundreds of miles, you could continue eating without saying a new bracha, even though you changed locations, you were in a different state, who knows where you are now, right? You drive up to Canada, you're a different country, it doesn't matter because you're still in your car and you're going on the original eating. These are some of the halachas when it comes to shinui makom, and again, it's a little confusing, but the Chazal tell us that the Haiman, the Niboy, the Chassid, the Gemara tells us that a person who wants to be considered pious, so what should he do? So there are different opinions in the Gemara. So one opinion is the Gemara says, Lizar b'mili da'avis, that he should take very seriously the teachings of Pirkei Avos. That if a person wants to be considered a pious Jew, he should take the moral, ethical teachings of Pirkei Avos very much to heart. That's one opinion. The second opinion says that, they're not necessarily arguing, but the second opinion says, Lizar b'mili da'brachas, that he should be careful in matters pertaining to brachas. Brachas are considered very precious. A bracha is a praise of God. A bracha has to be said only when it's called for. We don't say brachas when they're uncalled for, contrary to what people think, you know, that you're not sure if you said a bracha, you keep saying it, it doesn't work that way. A bracha is a privilege that can only be said when it's called for. So therefore, the halachas of brachas, as we mentioned in the past, are quite intricate. But when it comes to this area in particular, it's a very common occurrence, and we're not always familiar with it, so hopefully now we could be a little bit more meticulous and work towards being considered pious Jews.